Walking the Talk.
This is 702.
702.
Coming up on the show this hour, we will be talking about the disturbing resurgence again of this need for ivermectin, which is a drug that is used for the treatment and control of parasites in animals. Many people asking doctors and vets for them to sell them those medication in response, of course, to COVID-19. The South African Health Products Regulatory Authority, which is tasked with the responsibility of basically granting permission for any drug to be sold in South Africa, saying that this is not a good idea as far as treating it for COVID-19 purposes is concerned. In the statement, they said on the 22nd of December, the authority indicated that in relation to the ivermectin use for COVID-19, that ivermectin is not indicated nor approved by the authority for use in humans. There is no confirmatory data on the drug available as yet for its use in management of COVID-19 infections. In terms of safety and efficacy, there is no evidence to support the use of the drug, and we do not have any clinical trial evidence to justify its use whatsoever. We will be speaking to the CEO of the South African Health Products Regulatory Authority in about 5 minutes' time, Dr. Boitumelo Semete Magokotlela. Later this hour as well, we will talk to Professor Tsilidzi Marwala, the Vice Chancellor and Deputy Chair of the Presidential Commission on the Fourth Industrial Revolution, Vice Chancellor of the University of Johannesburg. I have been receiving once again a raft of messages and emails from people who are continuing to support this rather dangerous myth of linking 5G to the outbreak of COVID-19. Professor Marwala has done some work in relation to that, and he'll be unpacking that for us and making us understand what 5G actually is. And hopefully from that, you'll disabuse yourself of this incredible, irresponsible conspiracy theory that 5G and the rollout of it has anything to do with COVID-19 right now. It's 12 minutes past 8.
EWN Traffic.
Karabo, what's happening on our roads?
Yeah, it's been a very quiet traffic morning, Africa. At this stage, no serious accidents have been reported in Pretoria. Just look out for a minor accident. This is on the N1 north in the Eastland area before after Storm 4. This is not causing any delays at this stage. Otherwise, the faulty traffic lights in four ways at William Nicol and Leslie. There's also traffic lights not working in Honeydew at Bears Nordia and Blueberry. Karabo Charlie, EWN Traffic.
702.
WhatsApp us on 072-702-1702.
Hi team, it's Lee from Boxburg. I just know personally with the alcohol ban that the domino effect of it is huge. We are in the restaurant industry where we supply catering equipment and repair and service catering equipment. We saw an absolute crash over the last restaurant ban when they closed them and stuff. And even now, the work that we were starting to gain momentum on is slowing down again because the patrons aren't visiting the restaurants because they aren't able to have a drink. And it is an unfortunate thing about society, but when people go out, they like to have a little dorpy. So maybe, you know, the domino effect that this ban has on other industries like the musicians and like mine is huge. It's not just about not drinking.
Once again, I have absolute and full appreciation of what you are going through. All I can show is empathy, right? I speak from a position of privilege. I continue to hold down a job and I continue to earn a salary, and I'm very thankful and grateful for that. Don't get me wrong. I don't know what life must be like when you don't know where your payment of your bond is going to come from. Children will be going back to school in a couple of weeks' time. How are you going to buy the uniform and supplies for the school, pay for their school fees if you have not been earning an income for a significant part of 2020? And now the season when you are supposed to be recouping some of those losses, you are being told that you can't do so. However, we have the unassailable right in South Africa, which is to life. We have an unassailable right to life. And we have reported that since March of last year, there were 31,368 people who died as a result of COVID-19. Those people are dead. They were fine at 1st of January in 2020, and now they are dead as a result of COVID-19. That's a staggering number. This country has no choice but to respond in the ways that they have to this pandemic. Have they always gotten it right? No. They've made mistakes along the way. My word, they have. Had we not put in place interventions, would we see a higher number of people infected with COVID-19? Yes, we would have. Would we have seen more people dead? Yes, we would have. The health system is greatly burdened by unbelievable numbers of people presenting themselves to hospitals as we speak because of COVID-19. We need to eliminate everything else that might apply pressure to that. And yes, your livelihood has been unbelievably devastated. But people are dying. People are dying. It's a difficult one. 16 minutes past 8.
Join us.
Let's walk the talk.
This is 702.
The Health Products Regulatory Authority is saying a police investigation will be done to determine if a syndicate is operating in the country selling the drug ivermectin for use against coronavirus. Joining me on the line now is the CEO of the authority, Dr. Boitumelo Semete Makokotlele. Boitumelo, very good morning and welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thank you for having me, African.
What evidence have you gathered to suspect that there might be a syndicate that is operating in the country selling this drug?
Yeah. So the investigation is still ongoing. And in terms of this consignment, I mean, this was, you know, an individual or a company that was not licensed to bring in this product. So, you know, in our case, if you're a company that imports any health product, you're supposed to be licensed by SAHPRA and also have an import permit. So those were not available in this case, but the inspection, the investigation is still ongoing, and further details will come from that.
Well, we certainly wish you all the best, well, the police at least anyway, with that investigation. Let's try and understand this drug. This is a drug used for treatment and control of parasites in animals. How did people seem to think it's going to work for fighting COVID-19 symptoms?
Yeah, so I mean, the interest comes from the fact that, I mean, it has been used in humans for other indications such as scabies and headlines, and that's where we've granted Section 21 authorization for that in the country. However, we don't have it registered for human use. Now, what has been done recently is that it was tested in the lab, and it indicated, you know, that it could inhibit the replication of the virus. And subsequent to that, there were, you know, small disparate clinical trials that were conducted that indicate, you know, some positive trend. However, these were not well-designed trials. And so there's still quite a lot of gaps and a lot of information that we need for, you know, for this drug in terms of indications for the treatment or the prevention of COVID-19.
As you say, I mean, one of the people you note in your statement is that Dr. Andrew Hill, for example, of the University of Liverpool, I believe, has been conducting some of these clinical trials. But there is a question around the process that he would have followed. And more importantly, the sample that he's working off is just not enough to have the authority, for example, saying, wait a minute, perhaps this drug has something to be considered.
Yeah. So actually what he did, he's not conducting the clinical trials per se, but he pulled the data from a number of clinical trials. I think there were about just around 10 or so clinical trials, but he pulled the data thereof. And it was definitely insufficient numbers, and he clearly indicates that himself. He indicates some of the gaps with the studies. So, for example, the dose ranges and the durations were not standardized, et cetera. So he goes into a lot of detail around that. So while there was a positive trend that showed some faster time of viral clearance, for example, or shorter duration in hospital, there's a lot more data that we need. So at the moment, there's a number of clinical trials that are ongoing, and understand that he will be doing a further review And we expect that data then from this much larger sample will be shared with us by mid-January, late January. So we are anticipating that data. But also we're encouraging the South African scientific community to conduct clinical trials here also. So we would then expedite the review of that so that we can also generate data on the safety and efficacy of this drug.
So, no clinical trials currently being conducted in South Africa. Is any company producing this drug? Have they submitted an application to the authority for you to consider it for human consumption?
No, we don't have a clinical trial that's ongoing in the country, and that's why we are encouraging that these studies are ongoing. We've had requests to authorize this drug under emergency conditions. However, when we looked at the data that was submitted, it's definitely insufficient for us to say with a level of confidence that this would be a drug that, when utilized for treatment of COVID, would be safe and effective. Again, the other gap in that is that typically with drugs, you would indicate that it must be utilized, with those who have mild symptoms or severe symptoms that are in ICU. In this case, we don't know what type of patient they should be used on. So there's still, a risk in terms of not having sufficient information for this.
As far as you know, Boitumelo, is there any other authority anywhere else in the world that has given permission for such use?
So a number of authorities are considering the data that's emerging, very similar to us. But the regulators that we at least collaborate with, and we've got what we call reliance mechanisms with, such as the US FDA, the European Medicines Agency, which covers the European Union, the medicines, the authority in the UK. None of them have given authorization or any positive recommendation for this. So you'll see if you go onto their website, they indicate, that, it presents with the following side effects, and they're cautious to say this should not be utilized until we've got sufficient data for it.
And let's understand the bureaucracy. There is not a single capsule, tablet, vial of injection or any medication that is available for human consumption in this country that the South African Health Products Regulatory Authority has not given permission to. I'm asking the question very clumsily. Let me rephrase. You would need to give permission for any medication to be prescribed by a doctor or a healthcare professional or a pharmacist. And because you have not done so, anyone who's prescribing this or distributing this drug is basically committing an offence.
So if it's utilised for indications, for example, such as scabies and head lice, and those we've given Section 21 authorisation, so they would then have a supra authorisation. That's fine. And in those instances, it isn't a topical formulation. It can then also have authorization by the Department of Agriculture for veterinary use. Anything outside of that is not authorized by SAPRA. So it should not be utilized in that case.
I see there are reports that there might be some people who will be taking the authority to court to force you to, I suppose, expedite the process where we get permission for this drug to be used. Your response to that?
Yeah, I mean, our response is, we are a regulator that makes its decision based on scientific information that is provided. And outside of that, we can't make a decision based on anything else. So while I understand the interest in this product, the safety of the public is of our concern. We have the mandate to ensure that any product that is available in the country has gone through a rigorous regulatory approval, and we can say as a regulator, we've considered all the information that is available, and we can then say it can be utilized. And what you will find is when we review all the data, where there are safety concerns, what we do, we'll say, these are contraindications, don't use it with this drug, these are the warnings, etc. We have not been able to do that with this drug. So the public is then at risk because we haven't been, as a regulator said, these are the safety considerations. So yes, we as a regulator, we're used to legal challenges, but we stand firm by making scientifically based decisions, because then we can assure the public of the work that we've done.
All right. Thank you very much indeed, Dr. Boitumelo Semete Makokotlele, the CEO of the South African Health Products Regulatory Authority, reflecting on ivermectin, a drug popularly used for the treatment and control of parasites in animals, also used to treat several tropical diseases in humans that are commonly seen in South Africa, as well as scabies and head lice. This drug, for whatever reason, is enjoying popularity for treatment of COVID-19, and the authority says this should not be the case. There's just simply not enough data being conducted anywhere in the world right now to justify the approval of ivermectin as a treatment for COVID-19. If you are offered ivermectin, please turn it away. If you, as a healthcare professional, have a client, a patron, patient rather, that is requesting it, please do not offer it to them. Police will be investigating whether or not there is a syndicate that is behind the availability of this drug in South Africa right now.